President Trump is in China after a state visit to South Korea yesterday, where he addressed the National Assembly in Seoul and reiterated his tough talk on North Korea's nuclear weapons program.
This is a very different administration than the United States has had in the past. Today, I hope I speak not only for our countries, but for all civilized nations. When I say to the North, do not underestimate us and do not try us.
To which CNN reports North Korea's leaders said, we don't care about what that mad dog may utter because we've already heard enough. So how did President Trump do in this important moment last night? Here now, security analyst Jim Walsh is here. He's senior research associate at MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, what'd you think? How'd he do?
Well, you know, Robin, I thought it was a pretty good speech. Now, that doesn't mean I agreed with everything in it, but I thought it was pretty good for this reason. You know, I worry about North Korea. You and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I worry about is inadvertent war, war by mistake or miscalculation. But mm-hmm. the other thing I worry about is a U.S.-South Korean alliance that has been dropping like a rock precipitously. And I think that speech to that audience may have stopped the bleeding for a little while and at least offers the promise that we can rebuild what is the critical relationship. You know, people say China's important. Well, you're not solving North Korea without South Korea, your ally. So I think that's a very important relationship. And the president sort of sounded presidential. He didn't do name calling. He didn't do a bunch of stuff he did during his UN General Assembly speech.
Yeah, there was no little, what did he call
it? Rocket Man.
Little Rocket Man. And, you know, big props for South Korea's golfers. Got a big round.
Yes.
Big round of applause. But he also went – explain this part of the speech because I thought it was interesting that he went way back. He mentioned the sinking of the Pueblo, thought to be a spy ship, in 1968, the downing of a spy plane in 1969. I could see a lot of younger people going, what, the Pueblo? What was that? What was the purpose of going back like that?
Well, I think part of it is that's the style he's adopted. You may remember when he gave his speech on Iran certification, he sort of went through the history of U.S.-Iranian relations, which has been a difficult one. And in this, what he's, I think, essentially doing is showing solidarity with the South Koreans, which is why I love the first half of the speech. It was really an attempt, finally, to reach out to our ally. You know, we still don't have an ambassador to South Korea, but at least the president is doing the right thing here. And I think by going through that history, what he's trying to do is say, we're with you all the way for all these various reasons, and that we share this long history together, and we should continue together going into the future.
Yeah. He also addressed China and Russia by name. Let's listen.
We call on every nation, including China and Russia, to fully implement UN Security Council resolutions, downgrade diplomatic relations with the regime, and sever all ties of trade and technology. It is our responsibility and our duty to confront this danger together, because the longer we wait, the greater the danger grows, and the fewer the options become.
Jim Walsh, is this really what the U.S. wants for both China and Russia to cut all ties with North Korea? Don't you then have no ties with North Korea? Don't you then have, the more that it has no food, no support, isn't the reckless leadership going to be even more reckless?
That's a great point, Robin, and not many people have brought that up with me. But I think you're on to something. If everyone isolates North Korea, if it is completely alone, it seems to me the chances of them making a mistake or acting out increase, not decrease. You want to have someone. You want to have an open door somewhere, a line of communication. And especially if you expect an agreement, if you're hoping you're going to get an agreement with North Korea to freeze their nuclear missile programs, well, they have to have a friend that's going to guarantee that the other parties do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's China. So if China and North Korea, ironically, if they have a bad relationship, that means North Korea won't trust anyone, and that reduces the chances you can get an agreement.
Yeah, and maybe there's something else going on behind the scenes. One can hope. Hey, by the way, he is in China. What does he have to do there regarding North Korea?
Well, I think they have to, between the two of them, they both want North Korea not to have a nuclear weapon. But the Americans want to squeeze North Korea so much that they're to the verge of collapse. The Chinese say, hey, that's a country that's on our border. That would be terrible. We're willing to help, but we're not going to do that. They have to find a middle ground, and they have to find ways collectively to reduce the chance, as we said before, of accidental war by mistake or miscalculation, because that's really how things could unravel quickly.
I just want to listen to a little bit where he did address the North Korean leader directly. Let's listen.
North Korea is not the paradise your grandfather envisioned. It is a hell that no person deserves.
A smackdown. Kim Jong-un's grandfather, Kim Il-sung. Is that useful, as, you know, taunting someone's grandfather?
Probably not. And of course, there was reporting prior to his UN General Assembly speech that the CIA profiler on North Korea had warned him not to make personal insults, and that happened anyway. You know, there was the talk of the cult. So he sort of inched up close to where he was before on that UN General Assembly speech. But in the main, I would say that it was more or less a speech you might hear from other presidents under other similar circumstances. Yes, a little more out there, but closer to the norm. And I welcome that when things are so delicate at this moment.
Jim Walsh, Senior Research Associate at MIT Security Studies Program. Here and now is a security analyst. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.